And this is Russ Dizdar. Thank you, Steve Quayle. This is February the 2nd, Tuesday night, 7 p.m., and I'm very glad that you're with us tonight. We're in a series that we've started Monday night, The Ancient Dragon Behind the Biggest Events in World History. Now, listen, dear friends, as we take a look into this, we've been saying again and again and again, deep, broad, wide, powerful spiritual forces are guiding. Well, in the past, it's been like the frog in the kettle approach, the ramping up of the dark side, the development of massive, massive spiritual counterfeit and alternatives. Well, listen, now we have the Spirit of God. We're looking at it in Revelation chapter 12, and there is clearly, not only the revelation of the full force of this ancient dark presence, but some definition and revelation of the past, revelation of activity now, and what's to come. And so I hope that you can take a few moments tonight, look at Revelation 12, and look at this, well, revelation of enormous, this huge red dragon. Do you know anybody that wants to kill God? I mean, think about it for a few moments. I've met individuals, well, over 30-some years of ministry, I've met individuals that were angry with God, wanting to jump off a bridge, wanting to commit suicide. A family member dies, or they simply have anger and bitterness. One young man at a college I was at years ago stood there. He asked if I believed in Jesus, and of course, I said yes and began to talk to him. And he took both of his hands and reached them up into the sky as if he was giving God the middle finger and began to curse God and scream at God and cuss God and mock God and on and on and on and on as if he was going to shock me by his anger. Now, I'm going to ask again the question, do you know anybody that wants to kill God? Because behind world affairs, behind nations rising and falling, political leaders and military, you know, agendas, part of the reason for the ramping up and the, well, the push, there's coming a third and final attempt. Now think about this deeply. It's about killing God, annihilating God. There was an attempt in the heavenlies. There was an attempt 2,000 years ago. Imagine for a moment the infinite, immeasurable God who sustains the universe. Who would want to go up against God? Who would want to kill God? What would happen if you actually could kill God? Annihilate God. Stop God. Tie God up and leave him bound somewhere. What would it take to attack the infinite, immeasurable, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, living, personal God? And yet this is what is the backdrop behind all, including your pain and my pain and your sin and my sin and the guilt and the war and the death and the disease and the racism and the rape and the slaughter and the, well, alternative spiritual movements that involve human sacrifice, that involve globalism. Listen, I'm going to say tonight that what many, I would say millions of Christians have never heard. The Bible itself explains and reveals the fact that part of what's behind the ancient hatred of the fallen cherub, you and I know him as the devil or Satan. I mean, so many dismiss the concept of Satan or the devil. Some nervously laugh him off. I mean, there could be, you know, so-called intellectuals and philosophers and others sitting in chairs of prestigious professorships and stand there and think in terms of Satan as a myth, demythologizing the scriptures, as many would try to de-deify Christ. What's the reason behind that? What's the reason behind the crucifixion of Christ? New Agers really don't understand the crucifixion at all, but why did they crucify him? What was the reason for nailing Jesus to the cross? What crime? What sin? What law did he break? Yet these are the things that we need to be confronted with because they involve our personal lives, our families, our nations, the world in which we live. It involves our destinies. It involves military men and women and political men and women everywhere. So I'm going to ask the question again tonight as you think about it. Who wants to kill God? Who wants to annihilate God? Who wants to get rid of God? And then, if so, who's going to take his seat? Who's going to uphold the universe? Who's going to be able to replace God? And with the current motivations spiritually that are going on in the world today, does it come from an ancient bitterness, an ancient hate, an ancient revenge, a murderous spirit that would do everything in its power to annihilate God and replace God? And there's been one attempt, and then there's been a second attempt. And I am telling you tonight, there will be a third attempt combining the top technologies of a globalized New World Order, top politicians, top military leaders, and super soldiers charged with superpowers they don't even understand. And the pinnacle of this ancient hate will bring about a final attempt at annihilating God. And that is our 1919, Revelation 1919. Now listen, my friends, if you are new tonight, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net, and we are on Survive to Thrive as the guest host tonight, and we appreciate being here and appreciate being with you. And I'm going to ask you tonight again, as you think through this, let's go to a few of the announcements tonight, but we're going to deal with six issues concerning Christ. And ask the question, why did they slaughter him? Why did they kill him? Why did he go to the cross? And then I'm going to give you four reasons why there is a growing spirit feeling presence in the air, in psychology, philosophy, education, politics. It's bleeding through every single discipline. A spirit, an attitude, even a rage, an antichrist spirit. Did they not scream, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him? You ever wonder why? And in the end, will these who are on the field at Armageddon be screaming, annihilate him, annihilate him, annihilate him? Oh, listen, we're not talking about stories. We're talking about, well, we are in the midst of the precursors of this road to Armageddon. So soldiers, military men and women, yes, all of those super secret agencies and those who are building planetary defense weapons, well, I tell you what, you should take a listen. You should really take a listen to all of this. Because in the midst of all that you do, there is a battle for your mind, a battle for the use of your life, and, a battle for the ultimate destiny of your soul. But again, tonight, survivetothrive.net, 7 p.m. on Tuesday nights, here we are. If you want to know all about us, my name is Russ Dizdar, and shatterthedarkness.net is the website, shatterthedarkness.net. And listen, the reason I mention it 4, 5, 6 times in these shows is because we put up, courses that we teach here, that we would lecture at a college or at a conference. All these materials that we've used in training, we're putting up on the web. There's a big course called Confronting the Powers. And I believe believers would benefit, and it'll be a good thing. I got a letter today from an individual that is talking about what session they are on and how it's benefiting their life, and many of others have written and talked about it. So it's there, and there's many other, training MP3s and hundreds of others. We're dealing with the concepts of globalism, the abyss, the end of days, spiritual counterfeits, understanding the mission of God. And in all of it, there's one simple, compelling presence behind this life, this voice that you hear. And I'm going to just be glad and privileged to share with you that it's the living Christ, that it is this great and awesome Savior who lived with no crime, no sin, and spoke the truth and healed lives and delivered people and raised people from the dead, and he came to save us. That's all. Why would anybody be ashamed to talk about such a one as this? Now, when the disciples one time were out on a boat and they saw Christ walking on the water, and at first they utterly feared that it was some kind of supernatural event, a ghost something, but Jesus once again told them to be at peace. It was him. Here again, the demonstration of God in human flesh, authority and power over sin, over nature, over sickness, over demonic presence, over death, over everything is demonstrated. You can't find this anywhere else, not in Quetzalcoatl, not in Dalai Lamas, not in ancient Hindu gurus, not in the Maitreya, not in Amadi, not in the coming counterfeit, the Antichrist, or even his false prophet. You keep your eyes fixed on this Savior. New Agers, don't dumb down the message. Don't strip him of all that he is, because you end up with ashes in your hand that cannot help you. Look at the living Christ who spoke, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There's a reason why he went to that cross. And we're going to tell you more about that in this, this session tonight. We're already into it, 15 minutes. On Monday night, we had someone send me, an article about a military individual who ended up being a spy working for a general that used black magic to protect this general from the Taliban. Now, we've been talking about the weaponization of dark powers. This has been done by Noriega years ago. This has been done by many throughout history. And so as DARPA and the United States and Russia and many others back in the days of the Cold War, they were willing to literally sell their souls for enhancements and powers and technologies so they can have a cutting edge in the world around us. Not knowing that it was not just for the defense of nations, but the one that brings this kind of mental, emotional, psychological fear, not only individually, but to nations, this one that is behind war, is operative in this weapons development, the causing of war and bloodshed. You see, there's somebody that bathes in this kind of stuff. So there needs to be a screaming, urgent, message to military science lab workers, military strategists, and those who are developing the weapons and military agendas. Because the approach of, some presence bringing ideas to minds and hearts to develop weaponry, to advance causes. I mean, listen, let's ask the question. Will military men and women sell their souls, sell out Christ, dump him, in order to gain what seems to be human enhancements, weapon enhancements, but that come from a supernatural, well, revelation, data, inspiration. The devil will offer you the best weaponry in human history to become the most powerful nation, the greatest superpower in human history. Military leaders, would you take it? Would you buy into it? Would you sell your soul? Used to say it in the old days with the old rock groups like Black Sabbath. Sell our souls for rock and roll. Sabbath's Bloody Sabbath they sang about. Ozzy Osbourne had sung about in some of his songs the presence. He didn't know what it was that was entangling him. And listen, that's true in many areas of life right now. But I'm saying again, the targets, if you'll remember, are going to be politicians, political areas, political and governmental power centers, and military men and women. These are what the Bible describes as the kings of the earth. You'll find it in Psalm 2. You'll find it in Timothy chapter 2. You'll find it throughout the book of Revelation. Kings of the earth, the power, the controllers, political and military. Now, I've said again, and the reason I bring it up is that there can be good leaders and good, righteous individuals that understand in a fallen world what their position is in the sight of God. And they need, like Daniel, like Josiah, like Deborah and Esther of old, like Nehemiah, they need to be men and women of God and not sell their souls to the pressures that beckon for war and slaughter. Not sell their souls to the whispers of New Age spirits promising human enhancement if you sell your soul to the devil. Now, I talked about the spy that used black magic. I talked about the Romanian presidential election. Another article sent to me. And about how a negative energy attack, how one of the presidential candidates may have acquired somebody with psi powers or more. Please don't forget, back in the day, in the 50s and 60s, the Russians, and that spilled over to the nations around, spent billions. And I know that there have been Russians in Moscow and other places that have been downloading the messages we've done on this subject. Could it be by the providence of God that it's Psy warriors, those older ones that were trained? The experiences are real. Look what the agenda is, and look what these supernatural human enhancements, look what they lead you away from. In every case, they lead you away from the cross, Christ, God, the power of God, and the ultimate engagement that you could have. Now, somebody sent me today, let me give you the third article, posted February the 1st, 2010, rather. And this came from WorldNet Daily, and it's titled, in the military, U.S. Air Force Makes Way for Witchcraft. Now, I'm quoting from the article this individual has sent me, and I'm looking at the webpage right now at WorldNet Daily, and again, quote, U.S. Air Force makes way for witchcraft. Subtitle is Academy Chapel adds worship circle for pagans, Wiccans, and Druids. And the truth is, this is nothing new. Nothing new. We can go back to Colonel Michael Aquino that claimed that there was a satanic grotto or group on every U.S. military base in the world. Most people do not understand that the darker and more really direct engagement with dark powers than individuals are into, the less they're going to make themselves known. The deep and broad infiltration of U.S. military by the dark side began after the Nazi war. And we don't have time to go into that tonight, but we are going to just say that this is nothing new. There's been an incredible growth in the world of paganism, Wiccans, and Druids. And believe it or not, at a theology class I was teaching locally, and by the way, we put up the theology course I taught here locally, which is the equivalent of two college courses. That course I have now put up on the website. It has over 50 hours of MP3s. And if you want some engagement in biblical theology and getting some deeper stuff, it's now free. Go to shatterthedarkness.net. And let me see here. If you go down the right-hand side of the webpage, where you find a blue area where it'll say mission, and then it'll say theology. It'll say Shatter the Darkness History. Then it will say mission, and a little word there, theology. Click on the word theology. Right-hand side, halfway down the page, in that blue section. Click on theology, and when you do, it's going to go over some of the theology, you know, behind, you know, what I hold to and so forth. I've been teaching systematic theology for about 20-some years. But halfway down that page, when you get there, is going to be the offer of the course. And you can get that there. And it's literally shatterthedarkness.net/page13. So if you need to know more, email me at shatter@sbcglobal.net. So I'm just telling you again another article. And this is, again, one of those things that that come in from time to time. And I appreciate everybody that sends articles like this. And we constantly research and look ourselves. And let me apologize again, because I'm noticing emails that have come in today. I've been gone most of the day today. And we're going to be trying to get to 20 to 30 emails per day. But that still leaves us backed up. And as hard as we've been trying, we haven't lowered the number, but now it's over 600, and all I can do is say on a human scale we're trying, but as far as time and ability, I just can't get to hundreds, and not because I don't want to, but we're going to try to get to as many as we can. So we pray to find the ones that we need to and respond. Again, tonight, in just a few moments, we're going to hear from Steve again. We're going to hear about the sponsors behind SurviveToThrive.net, and please check them out. But as you look at tonight's subject over the week that we're doing this topic, the ancient dragon behind the biggest events in world history. Now, that's true of the past. We read in the Bible about how Satan rose up against Israel and enticed David to sin. We can read in Genesis 3, the fallen cherub in masquerade and deceit. We could see there the methodology that is used. As a matter of fact, if you're a Bible student out there, or you just want to do some research, something written thousands of years ago, thousands, and then if you look back into the New Testament, you're going to find an incredible corresponding connection. Realizing the Bible has one main author. Even though the Spirit of God used 40 writers from three continents over 1,600 years and three languages, the Spirit of God claims the book is His. Claims these words are His. And all the writers will claim this too. And that's pretty significant in one of the most powerful, incredible, a book that claims that the living word, the words, the grapha, the very writings are alive and the very life of God are in them. Sad thing that so many neglect such a powerful book. Someone said one time, sin will keep you from the book, or the book will keep you from sin. And we got to choose. But if you go to Revelation 12, you're going to see where this incredible revelation that behind the attack, I mean, there was literally a pre-planned, prepared, designed, I mean, there was a strategy and a consistent attempt to kill Christ, and there was a spiritual force behind the proceedings that led and brought Christ to the cross. Let me tell you something real quick. George Norrie brought me to tears about a year ago. George Norrie from the famous Coast to Coast AM show brought me to tears about a year ago, and I'm going to tell you about that now. I listened to him talk to an individual about Christ and the cross and time travel. And George Norrie said that if he could ever go back in time, the place that he would choose would be the time of Christ. That if he could go back in time and stand in front of Jesus Christ, in front of the cross, and that's significant, that George Norrie would say that's where he'd want to go, to look up at Christ. But George said these words. He would like to be able to take Jesus Christ down off that suffering cross, that place of suffering, Via Dolorosa to the cross, blood dripping, life ebbing out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. You know the words from Scripture, Aramaic? And George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM said these words. This is what brought me to tears. He said, but I don't think, referring to Jesus Christ, but I don't think he would let me take him down. And I bursted out loud as if I was answering George Norrie. You're right, George. He wouldn't let you take him down, because it was there he gave his life for you and the totality of the world, because he loves you. Dear friends, there is a massive demonstration of the love of God, the sacrifice of God, the life of God, and what God is doing at the cross. There is also, and this is also the place, of the exposure of the sin of mankind and of the presence of radical evil, of what we're talking about, this ancient dragon. You come back in a couple of minutes. Let's listen to the sponsors and Steve. Thank you, Steve. And yes, InnerHealth, check it out, survivetothrive.net on the web. Listen, tonight is, again, February the 2nd, 2010. We're moving right along in this, beginning of a new decade. I wonder if we even have 10 years left. Well, listen, we're now engaged in this discussion about whether or not, or do you know anyone who would be so angry, so mad, maybe even so totally disturbed, insane, they would want to annihilate God, kill God. Now, I'm going to tell you something to think about for now. Behind the development of globalism, the reason for globalism is the ultimate and final third attempt to annihilate God. Globalists, real ones, may understand this. Those eventually that will work on the strategy of Armageddon may understand this. They may be convinced by a presence that has entered into them because their lives are wide open. I mean, it happened to Judas. You could read about it in the Bible. Satan entered him, and that's when he went out and betrayed Christ. He'd been with Jesus 3 years. He'd seen Jesus raise the dead, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, never sin, never do a crime, speak the truth, act the truth, deal with religious hypocrisy, heal people, deliver people. He saw all this. Yet, he chose in his heart not to believe this Christ, who was Emmanuel, who was God in human flesh. His heart was wide open. You see, when you get that close to the real living Christ, it is meant for the revelation of God on that level to so impact that lives and hearts would open up or harden, grow cold, lock the doors of conscience and will, slamming it as a steel door in the face of the Spirit of grace. Judas had gone that far, and the Bible says Satan entered him. He went out knowingly for money. For money. 30 pieces of silver. Definitively prophesied about hundreds of years before the occurrence. All for 30 pieces of silver. Did he have any idea of the literal entrance of the fallen cherub, who is, by the way, a spirit? Ephesians 2 enters him. He goes out, betrays the Son of God that leads to his beatings, the bloodshed, the thorn, well, the crown of thorns, the nailing him to the cross, to the death of Christ. He knew this was what was all about. He knew what the plot was, the conspiracy. You ever read Psalm 2, how kings and nations and people will come to the point with a raging, where do they get this? Mentality, emotion, spirit, to take their stand against God and against God's Messiah. 3,000 years ago, the words that were written are now the living, speaking words of God, giving warning to kings and nations and peoples, and invitation right now to kings and nations and peoples. But 3,000 years ago, God depicts what will occur in the end of days. That there will be a growing anti-God, anti-Christ disposition. Globalism will come to the point of hating God. Globalists will be arrogantly shaking their fist at God. When the Antichrist rises, look at the book of Daniel, how he is got this massive, big mouth that blasphemes the God of heaven and turns the world against God and leads them to take their stand. I mean, to take a stand. Listen, I take a stand against abortion. I take a stand against the ritual murder of children or anybody. I take a stand against mind control. I take a stand against what radical evil, spiritual counterfeits that are doing to our nation, to our people, to our families, to our friends, to humanity. I take a stand against that in the name of Jesu Christu, Jesus Christ. I take a stand. I hope that every believer in Christ listening takes a stand. And if you really take a stand, that means you will do something. You'll become a man, a woman of great prayer. You'll become a man, a woman of great witness for Jesus Christ. You will take a stand and become bolder and bolder and bolder. Break away from the fear and the apathy and just the idea of just listening. God calls us to action in our lives, with our words. He tells us to spend our lives on reaching every single human being we can for Christ. Now, if you're part of that mission, you're part of the most supernatural, enhanced, empowered activity on the face of the earth. The reaching of men and women and helping to lead them out of darkness into Christ. May God's power and blessing, urgency be upon you this night. Because as we speak about and bring up the concept of killing God, annihilating God, well, I want to take you back. Let's do some time travel, if we will. Time travel in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. See, that's what having this living book is all about, that the omniscient God, the God that is beyond time, in time, working among us, but so far beyond time. This is the eternal, immortal God. He can be in the past and the present and the future all at the same time and beyond the past, the present, and the future. See, the past, the present, and the future are still finite constructs. And so God is able to easily work in the context of the past, present, and future. So when you go to the past, looking at the Gospels, you're reading living words about the living Christ that literally it's as if his presence is coming through. It's an incredible thing, and that's why I think that real New Agers and psychics and seekers and those who are searching for spiritual presence and reality and events and experiences, if you're really honest, you would go to the Gospels, the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Mark. Read it for what it said. Don't try to dumb it down. Don't try to steal from it. Don't listen to dark spirits who cannot interpret it, will not tell you the truth. By the way, they want to keep you from it. And every real underground Satanist Luciferian knows that if you've got power demons inside your life, you know. You're not even allowed to open the book. You're not even allowed to open the book. In satanic ritual abuse, they've even used revulsion therapy to keep people from even touching this book of God. Now, if you go back 2,000 years, you think in terms of the birth of Christ, the temptation of Christ, the life of Christ, and the days just before the cross. I'm going to tell you that the birth of Christ involves the Spirit of God in the genetic mix of God and man, the incarnation. Now, that was prophesied 700 years in advance. God planned it. A virgin would be with child, but that child would be, well, the cause of conception God, and humanity. Like it says in Hebrews chapter 2, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in your and I's humanity. So that, listen, he came to taste death for us, to conquer the one that had power, the psychological, the spiritual, mental, emotional power that is really like a blanket. I mean, some people fear death so terribly. And though counterfeit spirituality tries to eliminate that horrific fear of dying and being lost forever, it's only that deceptive band-aid. It's like the pimp telling the prostitute everything will be okay. It's like the drug pusher pushing meth telling the 17-year-old girl that it's going to be okay, do some more. The thin, cold lies of the dark side cannot protect you. Behind the scenes of the birth of Christ, according to Revelation 12:4, you can read it there when it says that, well, a third of the angels were drawn down. See how powerful? That's why, again, not me, the Spirit of God paints the picture of the full force of the once anointed guardian cherub. The Spirit of God calls him huge or enormous red dragon. And that this being, this extra dimensional powerful being, persuaded a third of the angelic host to join in insurrection. If you look at the Hebrew word of Ezekiel 28, until wickedness was found in you, the word wickedness means a violent, willed, known insurrection. He knew what he was doing. His transmutation is eternal. So are the third of the angels that joined. Fixed forever. And the reality is, by nature, they cannot be saved or changed, but by will, they don't want to. Please understand, Satan never repents, nor cries, nor weeps, nor wishes he can go back. As a matter of fact, the revelation here in Revelation 12 reveals that his passion of this ancient hate even grows stronger, more furious, because he knows his time is short. The skeptics out there and those that laugh of a personal devil, listen, he runs circles around their blinded eyes, as he knows they will be sucked into eternal darkness, separated from God forever. Now, God does not will that any man, he doesn't want anybody to perish, but men perish because they refuse to love the truth. And listen, by the providence of God, if you're listening to me tonight and you in your heart say, I refuse God, I refuse Christ, then what is it you cling to? Who takes care of your sin? Who takes care of you at death? Who takes care of you after? If you hate God now, if you don't have and don't want God now, don't think after it's all done and over and you see reality that you're going to get him later. Appointed unto man once to die, after that a judgment. And listen, by God's providence, the Spirit of God summons you and invites you, calls you to come home. You can stay in the rebellion, the insurrection, or you can come out of it and find a transformation by God's presence and power because of Christ and the cross that will change you for eternity. You can come to know God personally. And that will prepare you, salvation prepares you, to see God face to face. It's massive, and you should check into more and more of what the biblical revelation says. Well, here's some of the things we find out in Revelation 12, verse 4. It talks about how this ancient dragon, defined in this chapter as the devil, the ancient serpent, Satan, the adversary, that in verse 4, he stood there waiting for the Christ child to be born. I'm telling you, by the clear revelation of this chapter, Satan is a student of biblical prophecy, of God's predicted events. Even when you go to Armageddon, Satan in human skin, the Antichrist, will be on the field with his army, aiming his weapons into the sky for the third and final attempt to kill God. And how did he know when to be out on the field? As you read here, how did he know to be there? While Mary was pregnant with God in human flesh on the inside. I want you to understand that when you look at the biblical revelation and see the accurate revelation of the nature, the origin, the methodology, the agenda, the passion of this dark, fallen, transmuted, call him a cherub if you want. This enormous extra-dimensional being, huge red dragon, as the Spirit of God paints the picture of the enormity of this entity's presence. He's prepared. He's there in Israel. Remember Rachel and her children. Remember the death of all the babies. Remember the attempt to kill all the babies 2 years old and under. The Word of God says that this ancient one, this radical evil, literally was there in Israel to devour. This Greek word means to consume, to eat, to tear apart. He was there to devour Christ. He was there to stop the birth or to kill the child. He doesn't have any problem at all when it comes to child sacrifice. He doesn't have any problem at all when it comes to abortion, the killing of a child in the womb. Jesus called the baby inside the womb Brapos, a living human being. Life begins at conception. And if something could have happened to kill Mary, pregnant with the Son of God, of course, the child would have died in the womb. But it didn't. If the edict by the king who feared killing all the babies, could you imagine what his life would be like coming before God in his fear, in his power, in his selfishness, in his arrogance? He ordered the deaths of babies 2 years old and under. Payday someday, man. Payday someday. But the Spirit of God guided, angels guided. There was a preservation of the Son of God, of Joseph and Mary. Eventually, in the development of God in human flesh, we find Christ in the wilderness, Matthew 4, and Satan standing there with all this audacity to confront the Son of God. To quote Scripture, let me give you one key concerning demons and Satan himself quoting Scripture. They will never quote it correctly. They will never quote it in context. They will never quote it to be used in the right way. They will use it and abuse it to mislead. That's the New Age movement. That's every cult out there. They will use it. And I think in their nature, they can't quote it. The Spirit of God alone can only quote it accurately. This prince of the power of the air, this spirit who's now operative in the disobedient, cannot quote. And so he quotes the word of God to Jesus for the purpose of tricking him, deceiving him, seducing him, and trying to get him to sin and destroy the very reason that he came. Didn't work. We find Jesus standing and quoting the written scripture. That's what he did. He quoted the word of God. Christians, you got that down? He quoted, stood on and quoted in his resistance of direct attack. He quoted the word of God and stood. Bible says that Satan left him for a more opportune time. You and I as believers have been through spiritual warfare. We understand he comes back in a more opportune time. We find out that Satan enters into Judas to go and betray the Son of God into death. The enormous red dragon, the picture painted by the finger of God in reference to this radical evil that's developing globalism, radically influencing politicians and military men and women. It is this enormous red dragon, an ancient serpent. Oh, he's alive. He's operative on the world, on the earth. I mean, his end is already called for. Isn't it interesting that every predictive word of God in the Old to the New Testament, every prophecy has the ones referring to the first coming have been infallibly, without any error, fulfilled. And those that have been spoken concerning the end of days, and the heads up that God gives. See, in prophecy right now, God gives in predictive insights what Satan is doing, what mankind is doing, and what he is going to do. That's the mix. That's where all the contingencies. Listen, it's why God, being infinite and being omniscient and being omnipresent, that's why a remote viewer and psychic and Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce and all these guys can't do it. They're not omniscient. They're not omnipresent. They're not in the past and the present and the future all at the same time and beyond time. They're not. They're finite beings, no matter what enhancements they get. That's why they have so many errors in their predictions. I would rather have this purposely given, incredibly selected content of incredible insight into the events that are going to rock the world. Let me say again concerning Christ, the enormous red dragon, all the intensity of satanic force sought to destroy Jesus. Couldn't do it all the way through his birth, life, and even at the cross. Sheer, sinless, crimeless victories. Out of the passion of God for love of mankind, pos anthropos, all humanity, you, God, raises the Son of God from the dead, blasting apart the finality of death, breaking the power of sin, offering the ability to be totally forgiven, not just psychologically, but absolutely, totally, morally, spiritually, by the blood of Christ and the work of the cross, forgiven, washed, clean, white as snow. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Right? Christ. Once again, no one like him. Monogenesis. For God so loved the world that he gave his monogenesis. His one and only, the absolute only, one of a kind. You know why Satan hates him so much? Because he's God in human flesh. The demons know that, even though liberals don't understand it. even though there are those that deny it and live in their own, well, selfish emptiness. Atheists can scream there is no God all the way to the casket, if they will, and die with what? You see, Satan exposed the hypocrisy of false religion. I'm sorry, Jesus Christ in his coming exposed the hypocrisy of false religion. Jesus Christ unveiled in visible form the invisible God. He's the icon, the exact representation. Check it out, Hebrews chapter 1. 3, he reveals like no one else the exact reality of this dark presence, of this radical evil, of the presence that brought down a third of the angels, of the presence that led humanity into sin, death, disease, war, rape, all of it. The cross, Christ. Hey, dear friends, Rust Izdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Come to Christ if you haven't. If you know him, stand as never before. God bless you. See you on Wednesday night. Good night.